Skagway's lawsuit against the state redistricting board enters day two of cross-examination. And the catch limit for king salmon in Southeast Alaska will increase significantly this year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. A trial challenging the state redistricting board's redrawing of the Upper Lynn Canal's House District to include Juneau's Mendenhall Valley continues this week. The municipality of Skagway has filed suit alleging that the port community has stronger socioeconomic connections with downtown Juneau, a key criteria laid out in Alaska's Constitution. I spoke with writer Matt Buxton, who runs the left-leaning Midnight Sun political blog. He's been covering the trial from Anchorage. Matt, what was your takeaway from day one?
It's kind of an unusual trial right now because a lot of the sort of things that you'd imagine as being part of a trial, oral arguments, all that stuff, has already been pre-filed. So what we're getting is kind of a look into the witness testimony here. So basically, it's really challenging the socioeconomic connections that Skagway has to other communities in this district. And so the real kind of challenge here that the board is bringing is that, hey, look, they are connected through the ferry system. They're connected sort of through the school network and school districts and sports schedule. So they're arguing that, you know, where they're at right now in this new district that separates them from downtown Juneau, you know, is legal under the letter of the law.
It seemed like the board's lawyers made a few connections on day one, tying Skagway and Haines to Auk Bay and the Valley. But Skagway's attorney made a bunch of connections between Skagway Haines and downtown Juneau, way more. And then on day two, they're cross-examining Republican board member Bud Simpson. One of the main points they're making is that he and his wife support building a road from Juneau to Skagway.
And sort of talking about that as part of the justification for connecting the Auk Bay, Upper Mendenhall Valley district of Juneau to this region. So the plaintiff's argument they're showing is that, you know, just how much Skagway and downtown Juneau have been opposed to this road. You know, it's economic sort of changes that, you know, would be felt to Skagway. This is a really specific claim that they're making. And I think that could carry some more weight with the court. And it's at the very least, it's there's a lot more kind of numbers. There's you know, resolutions, there's public votes, there's all these sort of records that have been created that show just how much the region really opposes the road and how it's a sort of a shared interest with downtown Juneau.
Well, but not with the Valley. You know, the Valley voted in favor of the road. So is the plaintiff trying to suggest Simpson is trying to kind of stack a voting district so the road gets built?
You know, that's the problem with redistricting, right, is that it is supposed to be, you know, nonpartisan and fair. But, you know, we've obviously seen that that ends up not being the case. And so, you know, I covered the last round of redistricting in 2010 when I worked at the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. And it was interesting in that case, too. There were very similar claims about, you know, political leaning and benefit that was sort of being trying to achieve through that mapping. And the court ended up not really taking that into too much weight. They ended up invalidating the plan on a completely different basis. So, you know, just how much sort of partisan influence is allowed in this process is not entirely clear. And, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, there's sort of four main metrics that they measure districts by. It's that they are contiguous, they're compact, they're relatively socioeconomically integrated, relative being a really key word there, and then as close as possible to the ideal district size. And so there's kind of a lot of latitude in there, and the process doesn't specifically say it can't be politically motivated. They are not supposed to be, you know, taking into account how these districts vote or the number of Republicans or Democrats in any sort of district, but there's sort of a wink and a nod with a lot of that stuff. I think the politics aside, there's a pretty compelling case that they've talked about when it comes to cruise ship connections between these communities, the concerns, the shared concerns about the road, the Juneau Road. I think those are some pretty compelling things that get to these issues of you know, relative socioeconomic integration of these communities.
Well, I guess we'll see how long this will take. Matt Buxton, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate your input.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was a conversation with Midnight Sun political writer Matt Buxton in Anchorage. Buxton has been covering Skagway's court challenge to the pairing of Upper Lynn Canal communities with Juneau's Mendenhall Valley into a single house district. The state is expecting a better year for king salmon in southeast Alaska, which in all likelihood means a better year for all harvesters, the commercial troll fleet in particular. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Overall, about 60,000 more Chinook will be available to catch in southeast Alaska in 2022 than last year. Welcome news, especially for commercial trollers who will take the lion's share of the fish. The catch limit is set by rules negotiated under the Pacific Salmon Treaty, an agreement between the U.S. and Canada that governs the harvest of kings who originate in the big river systems from Oregon up the Canadian coast to Alaska, but co-mingle in the Gulf of Alaska. Grant Hagerman, trollfish management biologist in Sitka, says there's no single explanation for the increase in abundance.
You know, definitely in winter and in summer, we have a mixed stock. We've got Alaska stocks, Canada stocks, and southern U.S. stocks. And so it's a picture of more of coast-wide abundance. And so that, from this year, looks like, I'm not pinning it down to any particular stock, but just in general that the abundance would be up for 2022.
The formula for determining abundance is based on the success of commercial trollers during the first half of the winter fishery, beginning in mid-October. How many boats get out and how many Chinook they land allow biologists to calculate the rate of harvest, called the CPUE, or catch per unit effort. Hagerman says this has proven to be a reliable indicator of abundance later in the summer.
What we have seen for December and January out here in Sitka is when the weather cooperated and they were able to get out, that those catch rates have continued to be good and much better than what we've seen going all the way back to 2001 for those 2 months. So it is promising that what we were seeing in October and November is a fairly accurate picture of what we're going to see for abundance this next year.
The Southeast Troll Fleet's share of this year's increased harvest allocation is nearly 45,000 kings, and pushes their total allocation up to over 190,000 fish. Summer trolling opens on July 1st, and managers aim to harvest 70% of the allocation then, and the rest in August. The openers are often very short, just a few days. Although it's too early to be specific, Hagerman believes the additional 45,000 fish will mean longer openers.
You know, that could translate into, depending on whether some of it was caught in July and some was caught in August, you're talking about, two, three, four more potential fishing days. But again, it's really all kind of dependent on how those catch rates are.
Economically, it's also hard to know the exact impact on the industry's revenue. Kings sell for about $10 a pound in winter and somewhat less in summer, although the fish tend to be larger. Hagerman says the additional 45,000 kings are going to make a dent.
That's a fairly big financial increase, I think, from 2021.
Other groups will share in the increase, but not quite as much as trollers. Seiners and gillnetters combined take about 8% of the all-gear catch limit. Commercial set netters take an even smaller share. And then trollers and sport fishermen divide the rest 80-20. The total value of the commercial Chinook fishery in Southeast runs to the millions, $13.2 million in 2020, $11 million in 2019, and $14.6 million in 2018. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.